Testament regarding the angel of the Lord. Now, I can't take valuable time to go back over the ground that was covered. But we've reached the point where I am proving to you from the Word of God that the angel of the Lord was not a created angel as other angels are, but rather he was deity himself. And I want you to turn. We looked at a number of scriptures, but we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 48 this morning. I want to reserve one other message on this subject, and in it I will tie it all together regarding the angel of the Lord and show you the wonderful picture we have in the Bible of our Lord's activities before he came to earth. To me, it's been an intensely thrilling study. I think it has drawn out my heart to the Lord in worship as much or more than almost anything that I've been engaged in for a long time. Now, here's the old Jacob toward the end of his life. Strange life. Now he's saying in verse 2 his son Joseph, and we'll just read in verse 16. The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the land. Now that's all I want to read. Jacob, looking back over his life, he declares that he had been redeemed from all evil by this angel. Now, of course, we all realize that only God himself can possibly be the Redeemer. An angel, a created angel, a created being, whether angelic or human, could never be our Redeemer. So that this angel must be God himself to be the Redeemer of Jacob. Will you turn a few pages and you'll find yourself in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Now God, just to catch you up on the background here, God has gone down into Egypt. He's delivered the children of Israel, or he's about to do that, I should say here. He has gone down and seen the affliction of the children of Israel. He's about to deliver them. And he has a man, Moses, whom he's going to use. And as Moses is shepherding his father-in-law's sheep in the desert there, he comes on a strange sight. And we will just read a verse or two here. Verse 2 will begin at. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he is afraid to look upon God. Now, nothing could be clearer than that. When I began these studies, determined to examine every reference in the Bible concerning the angel of the Lord, I was a little in doubt. If someone had asked me, was the angel of the Lord himself, or not? I'd have had to say, well, honestly, I don't know. But I am more than convinced now. I'm fully persuaded. And you can't, I think, be anything else when you read these scriptures. Here it says in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. In verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw it, he turned aside. God called unto him out of the bush. The angel of the Lord appeared, but it was God that called to him. And one of the first things that God said, calling to him, was, the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Remove thy shoes from thy feet. He was in the presence of God. Therefore, he could not draw near. It was holy ground that he was on, made holy by the presence of God himself. And moreover, we were reading in verse 6, this one who's in the bush, who is called the angel of the Lord, who is called the Lord and God, he says definitely, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So that the angel of the Lord appearing in that burning bush was the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Now turn to chapter 13. The Exodus has taken place. That is, the Passover has. God has redeemed his people by blood. He's bringing them out of Egypt. And in verse 21, we read, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. How interesting all these passages are and how much we could glean from them. The Lord prepares and calls his messenger, Moses. He sends him to Egypt, down before Pharaoh, comes in, and delivers them out from under the power of Egypt, and now the Lord goes before them. Here's that pillar cloud. Going before them by day as a cloud of pillar cloud, and at night turning into fire so that the way was illuminated, and his presence was with them day and night. Now it says the Lord went before them in that pillar cloud. Now turn the page to the next chapter, chapter 14 and verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now here they were. They were in danger. The army of Egypt was pursuing after them. And the Lord, in called Jehovah in chapter 13, called the angel of the Lord here, goes from that place at the front to the rear and comes between them and their enemy. I want you to keep as much of this in mind as you can. It'll come back to you. Because when we put it all together in our next message, we'll see what a wonderful work our Lord did for Israel as the angel of the Lord. You know, the older I get and the more I study my Bible, the more careful I realize we must be in speaking about the Lord. Now, the person of the Lord, his being, his personality, never changes. His titles, his position, his activities, they do change. But not his person. What the Lord was on earth, he was before he came to earth. As to his person, what he was on earth, he is today. As to his person. Now, as to his titles, that's something entirely different. As to his position, that's something entirely different. But as to his person, he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. You see, he never changes. Now, we change. Some people are always changing. When you meet them, you never know how you're going to find them. But as to the person of Christ, he never changes. And to me, that's a tremendous joy. In Malachi, we read, I, the Lord, change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, all the love and the compassion and the gentleness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the care that our Lord manifests on earth as a man I'm going to show you he manifested before he came to earth as the angel of the Lord. And then I shall show you that those same things are true of him now as our great high priest. And when we go to our Lord, we who are saved, we go to our Lord as great high priest, he's the same one, yesterday, today, and forever. Now that verse has been sadly misused. There are those who quote it and say, because the Lord healed when he was on earth, then he heals today. Now that's confusing things that differ. Because he is the same, it doesn't mean that he does the same. I'm the same person I was when I was in my teens. But I played football and basketball and hockey and all these things. I don't do those now. I can assure you of that. I'm the same person. But my activities are different. Now, mine are caused by physical disabilities, of course. But not so with the Lord. But the Lord is sovereign. What he did in the past, he doesn't have to do today, unless he wants to. And because he did in the past, there's no assurance that he's going to do it today. So that we must take into consideration his person and his titles. Now the name of the Lord has to do with a person. When you pick up the telephone, the receiver off your telephone, and someone starts talking to you, you maybe say, well, pardon me now, who is this that I'm speaking to? And what do? They give you their name. And their name identifies them. Now the Lord has certain names, and those names identify him. But he has certain titles. And those titles have to do not so much with his person as with his position. We in this country, with our democratic form of government, we do not have lords and ladies. But in countries where there is a different form of government, there are lords. Now, some of those lords inherited their titles. Some of them had those titles bestowed on them because of outstanding service. And so on. But now their name is a very ordinary name, it may be. It could be John Smith. That's their name. And that name identifies them. But if they're a Lord, then they're Lord John Smith. Now that title tells me that that person has a distinct position. Now that's the same with our Lord. I'm digressing a little, I know. But I believe this is very important. There are certain names of Christ in the Bible. There are certain titles. Now Jesus is a human name. And frankly, I'm always suspicious of people and of movements and of groups that are always talking about Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm suspicious of them immediately. Lord is his title. If the President of the United States were to walk into this building this morning, I wouldn't stand here and say, hi, Dick, how are you? You'd be disgusted, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. If he came up and said, I'd like to present Dick to you, you'd say, what in the world's the matter with Brother McKay? I would say, Mr. President, we're honored to have you in our church. Will you kindly come to the platform? And I would say, ladies and gentlemen, we are honored to have the President of the United States, Richard Nixon, with us this morning. Jesus is my Lord. And he's Lord Jesus Christ to me. And you can very often tell the spirituality. Now, there's a kind of a sickly, saccharine spirituality, or that which goes for that. There's always talking about sweet Jesus and dear Jesus and all. Now, that may be all right in the nursery, but that should be out with any intelligent Christian. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no question whatsoever that the angel of the Lord, I could multiply these passages, and I have listed them all for you because I've had to move over this very quickly. I've listed them for you on the notes. If you want to be convinced, if you take your Bible, and under the third section of these notes, if you'll just look up these passages, I think you'll see beyond a shadow of a doubt that the angel Lord was divine. He was deity. He was God. He was Jehovah. But now, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, which one of these three was he? There again, we mustn't get these mixed up. I'm always grieved when I hear somebody talking about the Father dying for us. The Father didn't die. The Son died. The Holy Spirit didn't die. The Son died. Now, there are three persons in the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's very clearly taught in the Bible. And each one is a distinct personality. There is one God. Each one of these is a distinct personality. The Father does certain things. The Father sent the Son. The Son never sent the Father. The Father sent the Son. The Son came, lived on earth, and died on the cross of Calvary. The Spirit of God came at Pentecost and is indwelling us, every true believer now. Now, which one of these three was the angel of the Lord? Well, I'd like to help you just a little on that by a few thoughts. And again, I've elaborated it, knowing that I couldn't possibly cover it all here. What we have seen very definitely is that the angel Lord is Jehovah. But then there are other scriptures, just like this that we read about the angel of the Lord being sent. Again and again, you read of Jehovah sending the angel Lord. Now, how could the angel Lord be Jehovah, and yet Jehovah still sends Jehovah? Well, I'm going to give you two verses. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24. Now, before we read this, let me again just bring you up to date on where we are. If we had read in the previous chapter, there were three men came to Abraham. Three men appeared to Abraham. One of them turned out to be the Lord. Two of them turned out to be angels. Now, that's what I was telling you about in my first message, what we call theophany, appearances of God. God appeared to man in the Old Testament, sometimes in human form, sometimes in angelic form. Now, these three men came to Abraham. One of them turned out to be the Lord. Two of them turned out to be angels. Two of them left Abram's tent and went down to the city of Sodom, where Lot was living. And when they came to Lot, they appeared as angels. But the third one wasn't there. The third one, who was the Lord, lingered and communed with Abraham. Because although both Abraham and Lot were believers, Abraham was a spiritual, separated believer. Lot was a worldly, backslidden believer. One was living in separation unto God. The other was living in the midst of sin and sinners. And if you want to enjoy communion with God, you've got to know something of spirituality and separation. The reason so little is known of God today is because the spiritual condition is so shallow in the day in which we live. But we can't go into all that. Now, when eventually, after the angels had dragged Lot and his family out of Sodom, out of that doomed city, we read in verse 24, then the Lord, and also reading this verse carefully, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. So then you've got the Lord on earth, and you've got the Lord in heaven. You've got Jehovah, because that's the word. You've got Jehovah on earth, and you've got Jehovah in heaven. Why? Because each one of these three members is Jehovah. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now turn quickly to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, we've covered this verse before in connection with the deity and the eternity of Christ. In the beginning was the Word. Notice it. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So there you have God. And he's with God. So that you can understand how Jehovah could send the angel of the Lord. Because both were Jehovah. One would be the Father, the other would be the Son. Now, increasingly I see in the Bible that God reveals himself only through the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus. I don't believe God is known. I don't believe he's revealed himself in any way but through the Son, the second person of the Trinity. You have your Bible open at John 1. Look down at verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So that God is only revealed, God is only declared, through the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Now that completely shattered this notion that you can believe in God and not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it. That you can know God and not know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's absolutely impossible. The revelation that God has given to us in the past, at the present, or in the future will all be through the second person of the Trinity, the one whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the angel of the Lord, sent by the Lord in the Old Testament, is the same one you read in John's Gospel. If you were to sit down with a pencil, a colored pencil, read through the Gospel by John, and mark every time you read an expression like this, the Father sent the Son. Or, the Father hath sent me, the Lord speaking, something like that. You would see immediately that the sent one of John's Gospel is the one whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. So that it's through him, and through him alone, we come to the knowledge of God. Now there are many other proofs. I have listed these. But what I want to do in just this closing minute, is remind our hearts that God in his infinite grace, and no friends, this just overwhelms me. God, what infinite grace it was for God to send the angel of the Lord to be with Jacob and to be with the nation of Israel. That was wonderful. And to talk with Abraham. That was amazing. Now just think of it. Christ didn't become an angel. He didn't take on him the angelic nature. But in infinite grace, God the Son took on him humanity and became a man. Lived amongst men, as a man amongst men, God all the time, then went to the cross of Calvary and died for our sins. Rose from the dead as a man, went back to glory, and is sitting now on the right hand of the throne of God as the glorified man, our Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren and sisters, we who are saved by His grace, this is the one who's with us. This is a grand thing about salvation. I was trying to impress on you those words that were impressed on me at Easter. Jesus Himself drew me. This is the one. What a wonderful thing that we have this one in His glorified humanity, seated at God's right hand for us and present within us by the Holy Spirit. And one of these days we're going to see. One of these moments He's going to come. And we'll look into His lovely face. And we'll see this one that we're trying to learn a little more about. Friend, I hope you know Him. Now, you won't understand all of these things that I've been presenting to you. I have been 45 years saved and on the way to heaven by next month. I lay in bed last night trying to think a little of this wonderful Savior. And I said, Lord Jesus, I just know so little about You. Reveal Yourself to me in just a little way. I can't understand Christians being satisfied with such a meager knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'd love to know Him better. Thank God we will. We who are saved. Make sure you know this one as you're saved. It's not the measure of knowledge you have. It's the acceptance of Him by faith that brings salvation to you. God help you to do that this morning. Shall we pray?
Tell about it.
May Thy blessing rest upon our study. We thank Thee for the vastness of it. Oh, Lord, it's beyond our comprehension. We cannot take in the wonders of Thy beloved Son. Yet we're delighted to know that He is so great, so wonderful, so vast, so incomprehensible, that we can say, this Jesus is mine. He is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my coming One for whom I wait. May Thy blessing be on us as we separate. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.